We heard the final movement from the Christmas Cantata by Arthur Honegger, a performance with conductor Vladimir Yurovsky leading the New London Children's Choir, the London Philharmonic Choir, and the London Philharmonic Orchestra. A request for that movement from Larry in New Berlin. I'm Ruth Ann Bessman. You're listening to Classics by Request here on WPR.
This weekend, if your life is young, older, or restless, then turn to the road to higher ground, your guiding light to the bold and beautiful sounds of world music. I'm Jonathan Overby. Join me as the edge of night approaches, Saturday at 5 p.m. Central on the NPR News and Music Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from many small retailers. Local independent stores in downtowns across Wisconsin are open and stocked for holiday gift shopping. Shopping small supports local neighborhood businesses.
Support comes from the Kenosha Community Foundation, a public charity dedicated to improving lives and strengthening nonprofits, and guiding donors like you toward tax-advantaged giving to make a positive impact on the community. Visit KenoshaFoundation.org.
Philip in Madison, from music by Ludwig von Beethoven, from the composer's Fifth Symphony in C minor. He'd like to hear the first movement. Philip says he's requesting this selection for the UW men's basketball team so that they have luck against the Iowa Hawkeyes in the Big Ten home opener. Here's Leonard Bernstein to direct the New York Philharmonic.
Thank you.
We just heard the first movement from the Symphony No. 5 in C minor by Ludwig van Beethoven, a performance with Leonard Bernstein leading the New York Philharmonic, a request from Philip in Madison. This next request is from Jim in Madison. It's for the Toccata from the Symphony No. 9 by Charles Marie Vidor. Jim especially wants to hear the recording featuring Samuel Hutchison, former Madison Symphony Orchestra's principal organist. Jim says it's just a remarkable, beautiful piece, and even more so when performed by Sam Hutchison on the beautiful Overture Concert Organ. How better to showcase the Overture Concert Organ?
Thank you.
The Toccata from the Symphony No. 9 by Charles-Marie Vidor, a performance with Samuel Hutchison. Performing the work, Hutchison is the former Madison Symphony Orchestra's principal organist, and Jim and Madison wanted to especially hear this performance with this soloist. And we have time for one more request before we conclude this first hour of Classics by Request. And this one comes from Mary in Madison. It was last week on the program that she was very interested in hearing one of the movements from the Piano Quartet No. 1 in C minor, Opus No. 15 by Gabriel Fauré. Mary had recently discovered this wonderful chamber work, found it quiet, contemplative, rich, full sound. And she just was so excited to share one of the movements with us. Last week we heard the third movement, the Adagio. How about starting off with the first movement? It's an Allegro molto moderato, and this performance is with the Emerson String Quartet, and joining them pianist Yevgeny Kisin. Thank you. The opening first movement from the Quartet for Piano, Violin, Viola, and Cello, No. 1 in C minor, Opus No. 15 by Gabriel Fauré. We heard a performance with members of the Emerson String Quartet and pianist Yevgeny Kisin, a request from Mary in Madison. I'm Ruth Ann Bessman, and you're listening to Classics by Request on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support comes from Offsite, functioning as an integrated part of your business's IT staff, providing 24/7 support. Reduce your organization's technology risk by partnering with Offsite's team of local engineers. Visit off-site.com/radio.
Organization of the National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Support for WPR comes from My Choice Wisconsin, offering 4 Medicaid and Medicare programs in more than 50 counties, dedicated to helping members live independently in their own communities. MyChoiceWI.org.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio.
Before we start the second and final hour of Classics by Request, quick reminder, during this mid-opera season, it's important to get your request in early. There are 3 ways to do it. You can go online at our website, WPR.org. It's fast and easy to fill out the online request form. It's WPR.org. At the top of the homepage, you'll see that bar that goes across. All you have to do is click the word music. It opens up and gets you on your way to the online request form for Classics by Request. You may also call listener services. It's a toll-free number. It's 800-747-7444. If you get the answering machine, just leave your first name, city where you're from, your request, and reason for your selection. That toll-free number again is 800-747-7444. Also, postcard or letter also works, and the address here at Wisconsin Public Radio, you want to mention first, Classics by Request, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Met Opera broadcast begins in just under an hour from now, and today's opera is Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro. Let's begin with a request from Katie in Madison. She said she listened to a bit of Wagner's opera Tannhäuser last Saturday during the Met Opera broadcast, and she immediately thought of Anna Russell's wondrous satirical summing up of the entire Ring cycle in about 5 minutes. And she would really love to hear this. And she says, please. Katie, I mean, I'm thrilled because it used to be requested often on this program. And then we just haven't heard it in many years, in fact. And it would be fun to bring it out today, especially during this holiday weekend. And it's a little bit more than 5 minutes, although probably if I recall, as you do, yes, that summing up just takes about 5 minutes. But she has an analysis of the entire cycle, which takes about 21 minutes and 40 seconds. And we're going to enjoy this together because it is total fun to hear. And this comes from a recording done in April 23rd of 1953. And it was recorded at Town Hall in New York City.
Now that the opera season is with us again, I feel it would be appropriate for me to give a talk on Wagner's Ring der Nibelungen. Now, I know that analyses of the Ring are frequently given over the radio by some great expert for the edification of other great experts. But these are usually so esoteric as to leave the average person as befogged as before. And in fact, I think tends to discourage him from going altogether. So I would like to tell you about it as from the point of view of one average opera goer to another. Now, the first thing is that every person and event in the ring cycle has what is grandly termed a leitmotif. Now, you don't need to worry about that. It merely means a signature tune. The scene opens in the River Rhine. In it if it were in New York, it would be like the Hudson. And swimming around there are the three Rhine maidens, a sort of aquatic Andrew sister. Or sometimes they're called Nixies. Mersey Nix and Dozy Nix and Little Nixie Divey. And sing their signature tune, which is as follows. I won't translate it because it doesn't mean anything. The Rhine maidens are looking after a lump of magic gold. And the magic of this gold consists of the fact that anybody who will renounce love and make a ring out of this gold will become master of the universe. This is the gimmick. Now, up from underneath the river, as it might be, let's say, the Holland Tunnel, comes a little dwarf called Alberic. And here he is. Ghastly glitter, glittering a glimmer, be like yourselves. Mit Händen und Füßen, ich fasse noch hält der schlechtere Schlupfer. Feuchte Nase, füllt mir die Nase. Well, you can see he's excessively unattractive. He makes a pass at the Rhine maidens, who think he's perfectly dreadful, and so they're not very nice to him. They tell him, du heiliger, hüpfiger Gick, schwarze, schwierige Schwiefende Zwerg. So he thinks, well, I'm not going to get any love anyhow, I can see that. So I may as well renounce it and take this lump of gold, make the ring, and become master of the universe. So he takes back the Holland Tunnel with him. And here he is, making the ring. No steel strikes here. Well, that's him. Well, now, up here, as it might be on top of the Empire State Building, you find Wotan, the head god. And he's a crashing bore, too. Well, he and his wife, Mrs. Frika Wotan, have had a castle built for them called Valhalla. By a couple of giants called Fasolt and Fafner. Well, of course, the giants want to be paid for building this castle, and part of the giants' builders' union scale consists of this magic ring that Alberic's made. So Wotan goes all the way down from where he is to Alberic and takes the ring away from him. Well, of course, Alberic is simply furious. So he puts a terrible curse on the ring. Wrong curse, isn't it? I'm sorry, here. But Wotan takes, no, no, notice, he takes the ring up and gives it to Fasolt. And right away, Fafner kills Fasolt to get the ring for himself. So Votan knows that the curse is working. And this worries him, so he goes down to ground level to consult an old fortune teller friend of his called my friend Erda. She is a green-faced torso that pops out of the ground. At least we think she's a torso. That's all anyone's ever seen of her. And she says to Votan, she says, Voike, Votan, Voike. Which means, be careful, Votan, be careful. She then bears him 8 daughters. Are the Valkyries, headed by Brunhilde, and they are the noisiest women. Well, that is the end of part one. In part two, you find Votan wandering about on the earth, and he has a couple of illegitimate children by a mortal, Siegmund and Sieglinda, whilst disguised under the singularly appropriate name of Wolf. These children become separated at birth, and Sieglinda marries a funny sort of a man called Hunding. He plays the Wagner tuba. He plays it very well. He also has an ash tree with a sword stuck in it growing through his living room floor. Well, one day, who should turn up but Siegmund? And he falls madly in love with Sieglinda, regardless of the fact that she's married to Hunding, which is immoral, and she's his own sister, which is illegal. But that's the beauty of grand opera. You can do anything so long as you sing it. And after having given Hunding a Mickey Finn so that they won't wake him up, they certainly do sing it. Got that off their chest. Siegmund pulls out the sword that's stuck in the tree that grows in the house that Hunding built,